Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
My friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's my privilege to be with you again today. You know, as the weather is getting warmer outside and we spend more time outdoors, the need for a nice cool treat becomes a pressing matter in a household of young boys. One of the treats I remember going into my grandmother's house to obtain was her Jell-O salad. For church potlucks, family reunions, Sunday dinners, and sometimes just because, Grandma would make a Jell-O salad, always strawberry Jell-O salad, in the same red and white bowl she always used. It was always so good, cool and sweet, with the crunchy pretzel bits and bits of strawberries and plenty of whipped topping. but now before I get off track thinking about food, I think Grandma's Jell-O salad is actually a good introduction to our topic for today. You see, back in 97, Jell-O celebrated its 100th anniversary. Back in 1897, a man by the name of Pearl Waite wore several hats. He was known as a construction worker, and he dabbled in patent medicines and went door-to-door selling homemade remedies. In the midst of his tinkering, he came up with the idea of mixing fruit flavor with granulated gelatin. His wife named it Jell-O, and Waite thought it was just another product to try to peddle. Unfortunately for Waite, he didn't like to wait. Sales didn't go as fast as he thought they should, so just a few months after developing this product, he sold all the rights to a man named Orator Woodward for just $450. Woodward, though, knew the bargain that he got, and he worked hard to market the product. Understanding the value of marketing and patience, within just 8 brief years, Woodward turned the $450 investment into a $1 million business. Today, not a single relative of Pearl Waite receives one penny from the 1.1 plus million boxes of Jell-O that are sold every single day. Why? Well, you see, the problem is Waite just couldn't wait. His lack of patience has lost his ancestors a fortune. Yes, today, we're going to talk about patience, another one of the attributes of God. In fact, you can practice it even now, as we continue with today's broadcast.
came running to Jesus and said, Lord, why have you tarried now? Lazarus is dead. But Jesus said, Martha, just show me the place. Then he walked to the tomb and brushed the tears from his face. The whole crowd grew silent with their eyes on the Lord as he spoke to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. When Lazarus came out, the Lord proved again that good things will happen to those who wait upon him. And he's waiting on you to wait on him. He wants to show you his mighty power again. When your strength has ended, his just begins. And he's waiting on you to wait on him. We're in such a hurry and we don't take the time to spend time with Jesus and his presence to find. So we carry our burdens like no one is there when Jesus is saying, just give me your cares. So when the troubles and burdens of life are weighing upon you and they're clouding your mind, Jesus is walking down your lonely road. And if you'll just surrender, he'll carry your load. And he's waiting on you to wait on him. He wants to show you his mighty power again. When your strength has ended, is just beginning. But he's waiting on you to wait on him. When your strength has ended, is just beginning. But he's waiting on you to wait on him.
Dear Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that you're a God who waits on us. You don't give up on us on our first failure, or the second, or the third. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to reflect that patience with others. You see, Lord, the different people we come in contact with each day that we need to show your patience and your love and your mercy to. Lord, for each person that's listening today, would they know your Spirit speaking to them, stir within their heart a recognition that there's a God in heaven who is waiting for them if they don't know you. And Lord, if they do, help them to keep relying on you, to keep coming to you, waiting on you, trusting you each day. For we know your mercy and your love and your faithfulness is unfailing. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your truth with our listeners today through this broadcast. Would you bless and help us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach to the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. As always, we hope you can join us in person, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com and watch live broadcasts of our services and see about upcoming events and other things that are taking place at the church. That's LebanonGMC.com.
For it is thou.
today let's talk about our long-suffering God. In the past 2 weeks, we've talked about how God's mercy and love are extended to each person, that there is no one who will be able to stand before God's throne and rightly declare that God is unjust. God has given to each one of us multiple opportunities to right our relationship with Him. And you know, this morning, I'm so thankful for a God who is patient and understanding when trials and problems come in my life. The Bible speaks of this patience of God in a term that we don't use very often, and perhaps we've forgotten it in our busy world. The term is long-suffering. The Oxford Dictionary says this word is an adjective, and that long-suffering means bearing problems or provocation with patience. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it difficult to bear problems and provocation with patience. And can you imagine with me today how much God must deal with, knowing the thoughts of each person, understanding better than all the evil bound within the hearts of so many? It speaks volumes of the patience of God. God is long-suffering. You see, God is a God of possibilities. He sees in you and I what no one else can see. The history books are full of stories of gifted persons whose talents were overlooked by a procession of people until someone believed in them. Just to name a few, men like Einstein. Einstein was 4 years old before he could speak, and even 7 before he could read, the rumor goes. But Einstein became one of the greatest physicists who ever lived. It's rumored that Isaac Newton also did poorly in grade school, but Newton, like Einstein, was one of the smartest people of his day and became a world-renowned scientist. Leo Tolstoy flunked out of college, and it was later on that he wrote the literature classic that we know as War and Peace. Wernher von Braun failed 9th grade algebra, but later in life he became a rocket engineer. You know, all of these people succeeded because they were willing to take the risk and invest themselves and apply their God-given talents. We are so easily frustrated and discouraged when people disappoint us. But God welcomes the worst of sinners to repent and to become His child. To the sinner, the blood of Jesus calls out, offering forgiveness and freedom from the power of sin. God sees the possibilities for those who will be saved and will come to Him, repent of their sin, and be washed in the blood of Jesus. You see, this is the justice of God's long-suffering. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, put it this way. It says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, the long-suffering attribute of God reminds us of the goodness of God. This scripture reminds me of a crowd marching with signs that say, "We want justice." And as the crowd chants their desire that "we want justice," a voice calls out, "When do we want it?" And the shout, of course, rings out, "Now!" You know, I feel the same way. And when I read in the paper or in a news story online of a crime that's been committed, especially when innocent people have suffered as a result, I want justice, and I want justice to be served, and I want it to happen now. But my friend, I'm thankful, so very thankful that God didn't immediately dole out justice upon me when I was in sin and rebelling against God. But God's mercy and love were on display, and God's patience and loving kindness drew me to Himself. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 puts it this way, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The long-suffering nature of God is not a disengaged apathy. It's the mercy and love of God reaching to the heart of the rebel, faithfully calling for them to repent from their evil ways. The patience of God is not a reason to think that God is not going to fulfill his promises. My friend, he will. But it shows his mercy and love at work, not willing that any, even the worst of sinners, should perish. What a beautiful revelation of the goodness, the glory, the majesty of our God. The purposes of God often develop slowly because his grand designs are never hurried. The great New England preacher Philip Brooks was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. But at times, even Philip Brooks suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" he asked. Mr. Brooks replied, "The trouble is I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Have you ever felt that way? I know I have, and perhaps many times. But some of the greatest missionaries of history spread the seeds of God's word faithfully and patiently, and had to wait long periods before seeing the fruit of their efforts. William Carey, for example, labored for 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma. Adoniram Judson toiled 7 years before his faithful preaching was rewarded. In Western Africa, it was 14 years before one convert was received into the Christian church. And in New Zealand, it took about 9 years. And in Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first harvest of souls began. Thomas A. Kempis described that kind of patience in these words: "He deserves not the name of patient, who is only willing to suffer as much as he thinks proper, and for whom he pleases. The truly patient man asks nothing from whom he suffers, whether his superior, his equal, or his inferior, but from whomever, or how much, or how often wrong is done unto him. He accepts it all as the hand of God and counts it gain." My friend, this morning, you and I are called to be long-suffering. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us to run with patience the race that is set before us. George Matheson wrote, "We commonly associate patience with lying down. You know, we think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there's a patience that I believe to be harder, the patience that can run. To lie down in the time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies a great strength. But I know of something that implies a greater strength still. It's the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirits and still perform the daily tasks. It's a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is hard, but to do it with good courage is harder." You know, my friend, the call to live after the example of our long-suffering Lord is a call to active service that trusts God fully with the results. For you that are praying for a friend or a relative that is far from God this morning, and you're fearing for their soul, I encourage you to keep at it, because our God is faithful and he's able to work far beyond our abilities. Charles Swindoll, in his book Growing Strong, wrote, "True patience is waiting without worrying." And I think it's true that our long-suffering God does so because he is not worried about the future. He's in control. And he's faithfully, patiently working his good work. For you and I, the question remains, will we trust him? Will we trust God as we labor faithfully, confident that his power is enough?
All my past, struggles, contentment at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life. Jesus is Lord of all of my conflicts, all my thought. Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins the battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord.
Dreams, Jesus is Lord of all.
All of my failures, His power redeems. Jesus is Lord.
Well, my friend, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close. But if you have a question about how to be saved or another spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during our regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight. Or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. Or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. That's lebgmc@gmail.com. There are a number of ways that we're trying to reach out into our community. If you need a ride to church, we offer multiple buses that cover much of the city of Lebanon each Sunday morning to bring people into our Sunday school classes. Also, if you enjoy a good story, you should call our Dial a Story program. You can listen to a new story each week by calling 717-273-4561. That number again is 717-273-4561. The stories are geared for children, but really, they can be enjoyed by all ages. They share a gospel message and help to build Christian character in our kids. You know, we're just a church of ordinary people, but we've found the wisdom and power of God to be sufficient for all who seek Him. I'm so thankful myself for His patience, for His guidance. He's a God who protects us and leads His people. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
When you've said all there is to say, when you've prayed as long as you can pray, when you're broken, battered, and bruised, and you don't know what